We're at the movies. Da 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 da. Damn. This one hurts, Andy. This one hurts. Let's see.
We gotta go. Spearsburg Pod.
This is how disappointed I was. Hits 101. Spearsburg Pod Twitter. Spearsburg Pod Patreon. Spearsburg Pod YouTube. And Spearsburg Pod Instagram, baby.
Coming soon to a store near you. Spearsburg Pod Pods.
Yes. Oh, was that some jokey joke?
Pod Pods.
All right. Yeah. One black, one white.
Yeah.
And when you turn it on, nothing but racial rhetoric.
Yeah, just racial epithets.
And we might have a programmed voice that goes, so it's specific to your race. Hello, nigger. Welcome to Spearsburg Pod. Hello, chink. Hello, dago. Hello, spick. All right.
When you listen to this, you should also, we're probably going to be in Cleveland when you're listening to this, right? Yep, and you're in Cleveland. We're in Cleveland. And we're in Kansas City right now, so we're enjoying some of the same kind of weather we're going to get in Cleveland.
And some of the same Midwest behavior.
But after that, we will be in Tacoma.
Yeah, baby.
Tacoma, to Tacoma Comedy Club. We'll be there the 25th through the 28th.
You know how much I love me some Denzel Washington. Always said this man can do no wrong in my eyes, movie-wise. And I only up until this. I only had two Denzel, and when you look at his whole filmography, I don't know how many movies in total he's made, but he's got like a 72-10 record, like the Bulls. I mean, not many losses. Up until this movie, there was only two for me, Virtuosity, and again, the one where he played that goofy lawyer, Esquire, whatever, Ezekiel, which I know you say.
The character, he developed that character well. What's the one where he was wearing always like a... Hawaiian shirts.
I think that was Out of Sight.
Was that Out of Sight?
Yeah, with Sanaa Lathan.
Was that one good?
And Dean Cain. That was pretty good.
Was it?
Yeah, and Eva Mendes.
I just didn't like the Hawaiian shirts. Yeah.
Yeah. This makes number three, yo. And here's what's crazy.
The movie. Or him.
The movie. No, he's great.
Okay.
I was with it. In the beginning. And matter of fact, it pretty much sustained me through the whole thing. But the ending, that ending was horrible. And I remember, I think both our girl Shamor and Kulsh recommended it highly. And I think it was Shamor that said the last 30 minutes. It might have been Kulsh that said that. I might be mixing y'all up. But either way, both of them gave it a good review. But I want to say it was Shamor that said the last 30 minutes was riveting. Maybe the lead into the last 30 minutes or somewhere within the last half hour it was riveting. But that ending, dude, that took all the fizz out of that motherfucker.
See, I at first I was disappointed. And then I was like, wait a minute. And I went back and I thought about it. It's not a bad ending. It's not a good ending. I'm going to tell you. This is what I would like to say. Because of the movie, because of the rivetingness, I love Jared Leto. Am I saying it
Jared
right?
Jared Leto.
Leto. Dude,
we butcher that name up? Leroy Furious?
He's becoming one of my favorite. The risks that he takes and how he plays his characters. Mm-hmm. I think I said this to you. He's not my favorite Joker. It's not that he's my favorite Joker. I think he took the most risk as Joker, and I think it was good. It was really good. I thought he played this part excellent. I loved watching him in this.
Right.
I think if they would have made this like a Netflix series, and then if you would have got down, it would have been eight. If it was eight episodes, and then you get down to where you get to the end of this movie, and then it falls apart the way that it felt. Like you could have made it different. You could have given clues on.
I agree with that totally. That matter of fact, when you bring that up, comes to mind is True Detective.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that was a series.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time they did it, I forget who the first two original were, because I know the second time they did it, Vince Vaughn and somebody else. I think the first time they did it, it was Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. Either way, I totally agree with what you're saying. This felt like if they would have done that to this, you could have got more out of Denzel. You could have got deeper with Jared Leto.
But could Denzel and Jared Leto been available for that movie?
Here's the real question. They could be available for whatever they want, especially Denzel. When you're iconic status, you call your shots. They work around you. I don't know if you ever knew this, but whenever Jack Nicholson would do a movie, he would make the schedule work around his Lakers schedule.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, Denzel could do whatever the fuck he wanted to do. The question is, would he? Why? Because it's TV.
Yeah, but TV is where the medium is right now. It is,
because it has no choice. But if theaters were still rocking and this was no COVID, Denzel's a movie star. And very seldom do movie stars do television. But it's a small box.
But the money is in television now, too.
Yes. And listen, more movie stars are doing TV, not just because they have to, but because they also want to. The writing has gotten so much better.
Right.
But I'm just wondering, would Denzel do that? Because I would have rather have seen this stretched out into a series than what we got.
Yeah.
And again, I like what it was. That ending just to me was, first of all, I was confused by a couple things. Number one, when they showed, and they saved it towards the end of the movie, when they showed Denzel shoot the white girl, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
It made me go, wait a minute. Is Denzel the killer? Why? I don't understand the connection between shooting the white girl and then they cut to her on top of the autopsy table. When the black lady pulls out the bullet, she later goes, I'm going to put this in the report as a multiple stabbing to cover up for Denzel.
Right.
So it made me go, he can't be the killer though. What's the connection between the white girl and the shit?
When they're investigating the killings, Denzel is and they think they have him cornered, and somebody comes out, he accidentally kills the white girl.
So there's an accident.
It's an accident, but instead of making it as a police shooting accident, they made her, she was part of that.
The murder scene,
and that.
Okay, then maybe you can help fill in this blank. Why was that relative to this?
Because that's why Denzel is looking for this killer, because it's holding him up. In his head, he can't get over that he killed that girl.
Okay. I was confused.
That's why he's in that little town. That's why he sends that letter and says about the closure. And that's why he...
Right.
Because he knew that other guy couldn't live with it the rest of his life like Denzel is living with it.
Okay, so now I got that part. So, but you mean to tell me that we find out, and Jared Leto leads, what's my man's name out? Rami? His name is Rami something? Rami Malek?
Malek, yeah.
Yeah. He leads him out to this, not desert, but whatever, this land, private land. And he digs all these holes and he's fucking with him going, nope, it ain't that one, it's that one. So he keeps digging all these holes. And at one point, I'm on the edge of my seat because what I'm assuming is about to happen, and I'm yelling at the fucking screen because as Jared Leto is talking to him, Rami has his back to Jared. Like almost Jared is in doggy style position, can fuck him from behind. And Rami has his pistol on his hip. So this is the end. I'm thinking Denzel's going to come in and save the day. Dude's got his back to him. The gun's on his hip. Jared Leto's going to take the gun and try to do something. And one, they never explain why all the holes. And two, he turns around and smacks him in the head with the shovel. That's what kills him. And then Denzel helps him cover it up.
Yeah, okay. So here's how this goes. He's obsessed, Malek.
I think it's Malek, Rami Malek.
Also, I didn't include him on great. I think he's doing a great job.
Well, the only thing I've only seen him in is the Queens. Queen,
and he
Freddie
was
Mercury.
And he was in the robot thing.
The robot thing.
I'm Robot or something like that. It was a series.
Really? Oh no, I don't know him from that.
Okay. Anyway, here's where it is. Leto's character. He's already confessed to a murder before, and then they investigate and they found out he was making the whole thing up. Then they tell. Then you find out that he's like a buff of this. Like he's into the genre of murders of serial killers. Then you go to the fact that they believe that he is the killer. They are set and determined that he's the killer. But then he says in that car ride when he says, and this is where it gets. This is why I think if it was a series, you could have bought into this differently. But when he says it in the series, he gets him in the car. The killer's not going to just say, "Get in the car. I'll take you to the bodies." But they did it, and they drove over to the bodies. Right. And he says, "Okay, I think it's right here." And he starts digging the hole, and then here he's digging the hole, and then Leto's character says to him, he said, before, when they're driving out there, before, he says, "I'm not that different than you. Maybe different. We could be friends, whatever." But he gets there and he goes, "As I said, I'm not a killer. Now, you can either continue to dig or we could go get some tacos and talk about whatever, or get tacos and talk about it." So, and you said you thought he was going to take the gun. He didn't take the gun. He didn't try to save himself. So is he the killer?
So he's not the killer?
It's not the killer. That's why.
Wait, whoa. So Jared Leto is not the killer. Are you saying that's left for the audience to decide? We know for sure.
The audience can decide. This is why I went back over the movie and I was like, he's not the killer, because he could have grabbed the gun. He could have killed. He could have got away. He could have done whatever he wanted. He could have buried him in the desert and took off before even Denzel found him. He doesn't do any of that stuff. He says, "I'm not a killer. I never killed anybody. We could go get tacos. We could go get tacos, or you can dig some more holes." And he dug all those holes. He saw all those holes. He never found anybody. Not that means if he was the killer, he necessarily wouldn't bring him to the killing place. But showed him all that. And then at the end, Denzel sends him the beret, the red beret.
Which means he was the killer.
No, he bought that. You saw it. It came from a package. He burns that at the end. Denzel burns that.
So what did he send him the red beret for?
So that he could ease his mind and think that he actually got the killer.
This movie just got whacker. Now that you've said all that. I was confused. Now I'm more confused. Oh, dude.
That's my interpretation of what happened. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't like interpretations. I like for my shit to be served to me knowing it's what it is based off what it said it was on the menu. I don't want you to go, "Yeah, let me get this. What the fuck is this?" It's your interpretation. Bon appetit.
See, this is why I said as a series, it could be cooler, because then they
could. Yes, way cooler.
They could have saw Jared coming in for confessing to the other crime, and then they do the investigation and finds out he's just a little odd.
Right.
And then that would make more sense to the end of the film.
Incidentally, it's hard for me to see Rami Malek outside of Queen, because he's still got that mouth. I thought that was a prosthetic piece.
It was a prosthetic piece. He still got a little bit of it.
Yeah. Wish I could imitate. I wrote down how unrealistic that Rami's character would get in the car with Jared Leto without Denzel trailing him.
Of course. That's the thing. But let me ask you this question before we go too far into this movie. Rami Malek.
Yeah.
Do you think he could ever not look surprised?
He didn't come across looking surprised.
Those eyes, the way those eyes are just.
But he seems like that's, you know, he does that. Like,
yeah, I mean, but that's just, the eyes a little bit. He always looks surprised to me.
Really?
Every time they cut to him, I'm like, he looks surprised.
Right. I don't know how to quite describe that look, but I don't get surprised. Okay. But there is a look, but I don't think it's surprised.
Does he remind you at all of Pete Davidson? There's something about those two.
They look like they could be brothers.
Yeah, there's something about those two.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Get back to the...
Yeah, no. And look, Jared Leto, man. The only thing I'd really ever seen Jared Leto in was Suicide Squad. Which I thought he was a great Joker. But yo, he does creepy well.
Yeah. But
the long, greasy hair, some of those blank looks. Like when he said the one thing about the car, about how's the trunk space... The way he delivered that line was creepy to me.
Yeah, it was.
He does creepy well.
Well, see, now this is where the movie, like you said, is confusing, because he's at that stop where that person's supposed to be buried. How would he know where they found that body?
Right.
How would he know that?
Right.
So maybe he is the killer, but the bodies weren't there. See, I think this is one of those movies where you have to decide. But he didn't take the gun. He didn't try to get away.
He didn't do anything I thought that at a riveting moment when you're on the edge of your seat, someone would do to make you get all the oohs and ahs and oh shit. And that's what I'm saying. That last 30 minutes, it's like if I were a female and I'm coming, and you stop. I didn't come.
What if we're both completely wrong about this movie and someone's going to explain it to us and we get it?
I hope so.
The part, though, that I have a problem with in the movie, though, that you kind of are right there when they get in the car. When he calls from the bar to say that an officer's down, they would have the police get all the numbers that it comes from. You can't put a call to the police that it doesn't come up on caller ID. Mm-hmm. So they would have the caller ID. They would know where the call came from.
Right.
Because he didn't do it at a payphone. He asked the bartender for the phone. So that whole thing didn't work.
Right.
That bothered me more than, because they could have easily had him go out to a payphone and call the police and say,
right,
hey, there's a break-in. That bothered me. That's bothering me the most.
Dude, I there are things that let you know. Yeah, nigga, you're getting old and you're gonna get older. Denzel looks it now. Like, dude, the gut.
But he needed
the gray hair. No. He's 60 something, dude.
Yeah, I know.
So it ain't, yo, I'm doing this for a role. That motherfucker's 60 something.
But he let that older flourish.
I don't know that. How much more can you let it than what your body's going to naturally do at 65? Yeah. He's 65, yo.
I'm only 10 years off.
Like, dude, listen. And like Bill Burr said, when you're in your 20s, everybody's a movie star. You are at the apex peak of your beauty. No fat, unless you're a fat motherfucker. But you got the square jaw. You tend, everything is thinner, smaller. When you go back and look at Denzel in the 90s, his prime, you see why women gushed over this nigga. And I'm just going, not that he's not a good-looking man, because he still is. But I'm thinking, damn, Denzel's getting old on me. He's old, man. You see, I remember, because when he was in his era in the 90s, I was in my teenage years, 17, 18. I'm really on my way to, you know, movie star aura. But damn, and then I'm looking at all my heroes. I'm going, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, even a movie I saw recently with Bruce Willis. And you go back and look at the first Die Hard when he still had hair.
Yeah.
I'm like, these dudes are all old now. I'm getting old, man.
Stallone, though, with that still working out body.
Yeah.
It looks weird, doesn't it?
Yes.
It looks like a cactus that's dying.
Dude, and I'm watching this movie and I'm going, you have to be a complete mastermind to be able to commit murder today and get away with it. Because that scene where Denzel takes Jared Leto's garbage home,
yeah,
and dumps it all over the floor and takes a piece of a pizza where it had bite marks and takes it to, I guess, whatever you call those people.
The CI, like the criminal investigator. The
criminal CSI people. And the DNA, like between DNA, and they can look at a bite mark on a pizza compared to, or put it next to the bite mark that was left on a woman's neck in a photograph. And capture you.
Well, no, they can give you an idea that it's a similar bite mark. That's not going to tell.
I mean, shit.
Yeah.
Damn near, it's a clue.
Yeah, it's a clue. Do you think? Did you think that Denzel did any Denzelisms? I didn't see the Denzel.
You didn't see the stroke mouth.
I didn't see all that stuff that he does.
I think I saw it once. He raises the chin to a certain degree, and the lips melt to the side, as though you almost gonna do a Sly, but Sly's got the opening. Denzel's is closed. I didn't see it.
No, it was a very Denzel. It was a very, I don't know. It didn't have the Denzel.
It didn't have the Denzelism. What's more fun to play? The good guy or the bad guy?
I think the bad guy's always more fun to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, because your bad guy can do anything. The good guy has to stay in the parameters. Yeah.
Right. But then at that point, you might be thinking it's more a case of, do you want to be a hero? Do you want to be seen as a hero?
Yeah, but you know, this is where, and this is where the world gets complicated right now. I mean, and you've heard this, and I think we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast. Mm-hmm. There's that whole thing in the Batman Joker is that the Joker is actually the good guy.
Yes, but those are so seldom the case. Usually, it's defined.
Yeah, it's
good
defined.
Guy, good guy, bad guy, bad guy.
But in this movie, if my assessment of how this movie develops, he's not a bad guy either. The
Jared Leto.
Yeah, or he could be.
Or
just because he didn't do what they're accusing him of didn't mean he didn't do something else.
Okay, so if you had to choose between none of this confusion shit, you are clearly the fucking bad guy or the good guy, who would you most likely play?
Oh, I'd rather play the bad guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think you could do do you think you could do just a good as... Do you think you could do... This is where my mother's book reports are supposed to kick in. Do you think you could do just as good a job as the good guy versus the bad guy, even though the bad guy, you'll have more fun?
Could I do just a good job as the good guy?
As the good guy.
I'm not good guy material. Look at, like, you know, a good guy has to have that. They usually have a good jaw.
Uh-huh.
They have the right nose. This is, you know, I'm looking at, like, Cobblepot or whatever the Danny DeVito's right. character is, the Penguin in Batman. That's what my nose looks like. I'm not that thick, but I'm getting there.
What do you think would be easiest for you to play? I'm trying to think of a sick, fucked up bad guy versus a great hero you just cry for. I got it.
I'd like to play a mentally like more quirky, a little bit more out of his mind. Somebody's talking to him from a place that you can't see.
Like a Rain Man?
No, he's psychotic, psychopath.
Okay. Well, then riddle me this, Batman. What do you think would be more challenging for you to play? John Q? You as John Q? Or you as Max Cady?
I don't know.
Come on, you gotta give me an answer.
John Q.
So you think you could cry and do all of that? Yeah. And really?
Yeah.
Dude, I think I could play Max Cady better than John Q. Because that scene in John Q where Denzel and his wife is sitting there and they're basically telling them, your son's going to die if he doesn't get this surgery. And Denzel's trying to hold it together and he's crying. I mean, face is wet. That to me is 10 times harder than being Max Cady biting a bitch's cheek off while she's handcuffed and then punching her 5 times.
But I have the experience of having my kids, and then you just take... I think that isn't that what acting is? You find a way to get to relate your experiences into...
What experience do you relate to Max Cady?
Oh, none.
So it ain't always about that.
Yeah, so that's why I said John Q would be easier because of the...
Okay.
Because I have the relationship with my son. But he's not a good guy.
Right.
He's not a bad guy.
The only experience I would have with Max Cady... and biting a bitch's cheek off and pounding her in the face to oblivion. I've done that with TV dinners. I can't get this cellophane off a piece of it, and I only can bite off a piece, and I punch the applesauce to make sure I fucking, yeah.
My problem with doing a scene like that is if you did it, and you do it convincingly, what does it say about you?
That you're a fucking great actor.
You're fucking mental. You got to bring something into you. You have to bring something in. I mean, you have to have seen something. Say, I do think it is great. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, when you said John Q, it just touched me because of what the character is. Dude, there's something about getting to play as bad as you want to and taking it to your deepest, darkest place.
Yeah, because you normally don't go there.
Well, before we go any further into this movie, because you brought this
up. Well, I'm done with this movie.
Okay, but let's bring up Armie Hammer then, the actor who... you just brought up biting a girl in the face. He's just been accused of abuse, sexual, physical, and possible cannibalism.
Who is Armie Hammer?
He's an actor. He's been in...
You know what he's been in?
Look him up real quick. You can tell all the movies he's been in. He's one of those good-looking dudes.
Yeah?
He was in... you know the Social Network where the two, the twins... That,
can I get the filmography of Armie Hammer?
Do you know the Social Network where he plays the two twins that are going after Facebook?
I'm sorry.
Did you ever see that?
What is it now?
Social Network.
No.
Well, he played.
Well, his picture just came up under that. He has starred in The Social Network and Call Me By Your Name. And he's being accused of what now? Vicious and spurious online attacks against me.
That's what he's saying about the abuse, sexual abuse and cannibalism. He says it was in jest. It's in joking.
Listen, man, I said it once before and I'm going to say it again. People need to stop believing that celebrities and, you know, are immune to being sick motherfuckers. Sick motherfuckers exist in all facets. It's just the difference is the celebrity has a unique talent and is famous. But sickness comes in all forms.
Well, I'm not saying he did it.
He may not have.
But
let's not be so shocked all the time.
But I'm not saying he didn't do it either.
Right.
I'm just saying I don't have the information.
Speaking of sick motherfuckers, now this allows us to finish up Night Stalker parts 2, 3, and 4. I said in the beginning when we talked about episode 1, I hated Andy for this because I don't like gory shit. But I gotta say, I love Andy for this because it's not what you think it is. And again, folks, it's, man, riveting is the perfect word. But even when they show the bodies of the slain and the murdered, you know, they obviously black out and cover up the graphic parts, which thank you for that. Because otherwise, I really couldn't watch it. But what's sweet about this is these things are no more than 43 minutes long, and I swear it leaves you wanting more. This should have been what Little Things should have been.
Well, they bring up Night Stalker in Little Things. They bring up the
right.
That's why it was. I thought that was interesting that we're doing these at the same time.
Like I think in episode 2, it said they caught one dude. They described him as the Hillside Strangler. Hillside Strangler. Yeah,
that was the case before.
But didn't they say he copped to it? He tried to say he was the Night Stalker.
I don't think so.
Really? Okay, I might have been fucking that up. But then they go, yo, look, most of his attacks were at people's house, entering a window or a back door. And you tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm tripping. They didn't have alarms in the 80s?
No, not like that. I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, that was more. I mean, if you were rich, you had an alarm service.
But like, I know Ring wasn't, but a service like a Ring or a Vivid, mm-hmm. None of that existed in the 80s?
I don't think that came along until mid-90s.
Wow. And dude, I don't know. I remember Andy was at my house one time. And when you put the alarm on, unless you disarm it, you know, you open a certain door or window, the shit go off. And I remember Andy, I woke up, my shit was going off. And Andy had tried to go outside, I guess, to make a phone call, and the alarm went off. And then I disarmed the alarm. And then he had to go out through the garage. And I had the bottom lock, I had the Medco top lock on top of that, and I had the chain. And he goes, dude, who the fuck is coming to get you? Who's after you? And I went, Cobita Diaz, brother, Skonto Gabi.
Yeah, you are locked down in your house.
I don't know if you, clearly you've never done this because that tells me what I need to know. Dude, I don't fuck around. Any house I've ever moved into, even my apartments, and you're not allowed to do this, any apartment I lived in, yo, I immediately change the lock and upgrade to a tough lock. Immediately. Nah, nigga.
I mean, I always have a deadbolt and the regular lock.
Right.
I think I only had one house with an alarm on it with my kids.
Now, why such a cavalier attitude?
Because it's too easy to get past them.
Well, it's really easy to get past them if you don't have a good one.
Is yours hooked to a single cell number?
What do you mean?
On your alarm. Is it? Here's the two things.
I don't know if I should be discussing this.
No. You probably shouldn't discuss it.
Right.
I'll say it this way instead. It stops the random criminal that just picked your house and wants to break into your house.
But it won't stop the mastermind.
It won't stop anybody who wants. If there's too many things that you have to do, and most people won't do those.
Well, most criminals aren't masterminds.
No.
If they were, they wouldn't be breaking into houses. They'd be breaking into banks.
Well, no, the banks, you don't break into banks because banks are it's set up to catch you. You could do better breaking into a store. I know somebody who used to work in bank robbery.
Mm. Well, goddamn, you just know all the fucked up people. Yeah, coke dealers and bank robbers. And
I had a quite wide range of people. A friend of mine in high school.
Maybe you are Max Cady, nigga. Yeah.
A friend of mine in high school, this is funny. A friend of mine in high school, they had 11 kids. No. Yeah, 11 kids.
And what African friend was this?
No, it was just.
Why you go to have a family? You don't have a family. Your attempt is to have a village. When I shoot semen, I shoot enough semen to cover the half of the continent. The woman has no say in the matter. Go ahead.
Well, his oldest brother was mm-hmm. the age of my parents, basically, because they had so many kids. And he was a detective on bank robbery. So, I mean, it's set up to catch you. They said the dumbest place you could rob is a bank because it has more. It's set up so that you can't get away with it.
Okay.
So it's the hardest place to rob.
All right.
It just has the most amount of money.
But wouldn't you want to at least give yourself a better layer of protection?
When my kids, I got them, it's more or less not just an alarm, but it was more of a recording so you could see who broke into your house. So,
right.
But most of the time, people don't even pay attention to alarms anymore because everybody sets their alarms off. So no one... You hear an alarm go off. Do you ever check to see if someone's breaking into a car? Do you look out the window?
If it's my car.
If it's your car, but when you hear one going off across
the street. If it ain't got nothing to do with me, why would I give a fuck?
Because maybe that person's not home, and so someone's breaking into the house. That they're depending on you to do something.
No, niggas mind their business.
Okay, so they're not. The alarm doesn't do any. It doesn't do that much.
It might do something if you're in the right neighborhood.
Maybe.
Let me skip my note for a second because you just said something that I want to attach on to that. Like I remember during this, you know, during these episodes, one of the reporters asked an old couple who was from Minnesota but lived in L.A. now, you guys don't lock your doors now? And she's her response was, no, I'm from Minnesota. We don't do that. Are you out of your fucking mind?
I think even in Minnesota now they lock their doors.
Well, yeah, there's more niggas in Minnesota.
I felt like if you're aware, I mean, I taught my kids to be, I think that if you teach them that if you turn on the alarm, you're safe is not a good plan.
Yeah, but I don't think that telling them to be cavalier about it is a better one.
No, I mean, I have a car alarm. I mean, my house, I know, we have an alarm on the front door, but not on the actual alarm, right. Not on our actual,
right.
Apartment unit. But the building itself has an alarm.
Something that they said that I thought was crazy was the cops are territorial in regards to jurisdiction. So many times they wouldn't share info. And I'm sitting there like, so let me get this straight. There's a sick maniac on loose and our tax dollars pay the cops to protect us. And more people may have to die because of an ego.
Yeah. Because that's
don't you think the cops should be brought up on charges? No. If there's
no,
you're responsible for the murder.
But this has changed too somewhat now because remember 9/11, the same thing happened. There was different agencies had different information, but they weren't sharing the information, and that's how it was able to occur.
Do you understand, folks, what that means? The people that are paid to protect us, the government, the police. They're somewhat responsible in our demise.
Well, because the police, again, and this is where we become, again, tribal. In everything in life, we become tribal. The FBI is one tribe. The CIA is another.
That's
tribe.
That's fucking terrible.
So they're all competing to take care of us, but somebody wants to get the credit for doing it.
Wow.
And that's what happens in the police departments.
That's fucking awful.
But there is more courtesy now because I think they've realized that they're killing people. They're getting people killed.
Yeah, man. If there's an investigation that's done and you find out that X amount of people have been killed that could have been prevented, but ego and jurisdiction got in the way, somebody should be held responsible. I want to know what you think, AB. I'll tell you who made me mad. The news bitch via the shoe. When they didn't want that information released, and she released it.
Another tribe.
Dude, again, you and because their whole thing, which clearly made sense, but I'm also going, damn, nigga, you don't own more than one pair of shoe? Like, why? If he would have changed his shoe, that would have thrown the scent off the dogs.
Yeah, but he didn't know it at the time, and a lot of people just wear one shoe.
Really?
Yeah, you know.
I'm Wellington Winston III. I have 4,875 pairs of shoes, all made by Guatemalan children whom don't even have enough to eat a hard-boiled egg.
That means you could commit 4,000 whatever amount of...
I could commit, or I would have someone do it for me. I would hire a Negro to personally kill everyone I wanted in all of my shoes. Episode 3.
Dude, I want to stick on your shoes before you go to episode 3.
Say again?
I want to stick on those shoes. See that, when you brought up about you couldn't commit a murder, how good you'd have to be to commit a murder today. Right. You know, when they went to research the shoes, there was only one of that size shoe that there was, but they couldn't find where it went and what store it went to.
Right.
Today, that would be no problem.
At all.
Yeah, they would just type that in and go, it's over at Joe's.
They're
Joe's
probably
going
to come up with an app where regular people can help solve crimes. Somehow you can get involved.
Dude, you shouldn't have said that. You should have developed it.
Damn it. I wasn't thinking like a Jew. God damn it. Fuck you, Andy. Incidentally, Andy has now started helping me invest my Cash App money into stocks. I'm telling you, y'all don't think so. And I know Andy has said it repeatedly about how I'm useless to him because of my situation in my career and how he's useless to me.
I never said you were useless to me.
No, I did, though. Oh, okay. Remember? I said, we're useless to each other.
Okay, yeah, you did.
But I'm telling you, Andy will say, I can't get anything out of him. He's the useless Jew. I'm going to ride this motherfucker to the yarmulke falls off.
See how much money you made today?
Really?
Yeah.
I'll check it afterwards.
Okay.
And this is going back to the thing about the this nigga couldn't stop being Jewy. Did you see that? He said, stop business. Let's see how much money you've made. What is this, Velvet? Oh, my God. A classic case again where money might be the root of evil, because I love the... Here's what killed me about this. They had opportunities to catch this motherfucker and blew it. The thing where they said they saw, based on dental records,
he went
to this one dentist's office.
Yeah.
And they had two Asian cops set outside waiting to catch him. And they installed, I guess, what was like a button, like they do in the bank.
Yeah.
You hit the button and it alerts the cops. First of all, they pulled the cops off of the detail.
And then put that button in.
And then, oh yeah, that's what it was. There was cops at first.
And it was taking too long.
The day they pulled the cops off.
And put the button in.
Guess who shows up? And then they go to push the button. There was a malfunction. He got away and, of course, killed more people. At what point do we hold someone's feet to the fire? Someone else had to die because they wanted to save money.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. But it had that been installed properly, the button would have went off and they would have went over there and they would have picked him up. But he was pushing the button. They didn't want him to call the police because they didn't want to endanger the people at the dental's office lives, because he obviously would kill anybody. So he's the dentist is pushing the button thinking that notified the police. And then the dentist is like, why didn't you come?
Right.
That is really sad right there. Cause that's
fucked up.
That could have saved everybody.
Yes.
Are you to the part where the cop hears a noise at his house and he's thinking?
No, I don't even think I had that in my notes.
Yeah, he wakes up because he.
No, I remember talking about, but no, I didn't have that in my notes.
Yeah, I just think that this guy was so creepy that the cops started thinking that they could be on the list.
Let me tell you something, man. If I was a woman back then, while this was going on, I would have went out of my way to try to fuck every cop I could. Please be my boyfriend until this motherfucker's caught. Because you gotta feel safe a little bit as a woman, knowing that the man you're sleeping next to has a gun and a badge. He's not afraid and he's trained. Come on, man.
I just, when you get into this like serial killer mentality, and that they're, because it's random, that's how you get away with it, by the way. You try to kill someone you know or that you want killed. That's, mm-hmm. But random, you could probably get away with killing quite a few people randomly. Mm. Because now they have to put it together. There's nothing to tie everybody together. So now you made it harder. But I was just watching a thing on the Son of Sam, and all the women in New York were, it was they said there was brown hair, long brown mm-hmm. hair. So everybody was cutting their brown hair short and then dyeing it blonde because they didn't want to even be.
Right.
So, yeah, man, these guys, they can affect the, they affect your movement habits.
You know, they said when this was really getting bad, three things went up in sales. Locks, guns, and dogs, protection dogs. If you had to choose one of the three, well, I think it's an easy choice. What would you pick? Unless you're one of those people that just swear by it to no degree. I don't do guns.
Well, I would like to say it's a gun, but I don't know. You know, some. Do you have time? If he's pointing a gun at you, you don't have time to get your gun.
But all his murders weren't guns.
No.
Some were what they call that shit, blunt force trauma.
Yeah.
Crowbar, hammer, stabbings.
You know, I think that I'd want, like if I was walking around, yeah, I'd want a gun but to protect me. But you're not even supposed to have a gun when you're walking around unless you have a license for it. The dog is the thing that, you know, alerts you to someone's there coming around, will hopefully would protect you.
Right. I got to go with the gun, dude. Because what if he kills the dog? Like, what if the dog don't shake him at all? Or there's a struggle, but he got a knife and he stabs the dog. The dog might just buy you time to get out.
Get out. But also, the other thing about, like, when you brought up alarms, whatever, that's a deterrent. So a dog is a deterrent, too, that, well, there's right. a dog at this house.
A gun is a stopper.
But they don't know you have a gun until they get into your house and are already trying to kill you.
Well, I'd rather them find out.
But I'd rather them hear a dog and go, you know what, I'm going to kill the next door neighbor.
Shit.
Unless I like my next door neighbor, then, you know, I'll get them a dog, too. Mm.
Dude, I love that moment. I love this fucking moment. We're towards the end of episode three, like episode one. I told you, that's what got me hooked on this, was the build-up, the build-up, the build-up, the build-up. And that fucking 80s music. There was something about that music. And then they left you wanting more. Night Stalker. Dude, when they talked about how they were getting inches away from finding out who this motherfucker was, and the two cops stopped Richard Ramirez's friend, put him in the squad car, and said, tell us who this guy Richard is. Give me a name. And the guy kept going, fuck you. Go to hell. I ain't telling you shit. And the cop says he hit him. And he goes, it wasn't my best punch, but it wasn't my worst punch. So then the guy said to me again, fuck off. And he said, then from there, I just started beating him over the top. And the guy crossed his arms to protect himself and then went, Ramirez. Richard Ramirez. Boom, 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 boom. Night Stalker. You couldn't help but dive into episode four like a pack of chips, nigga.
Okay, but what do you think about the cop beating?
Here's what I'm getting to. It's right here in my note. Now, this is where you go, fuck. Why would I ever condone cops beating people and going outside the law? Especially as a fucking minority. But sometimes there is a necessary evil. When it works for you, beat away. When it doesn't, bring that cop to justice. Dude, this is why I get one of my favorite shows, NYPD Blue. Dennis Franz. His character, Andy Sipowicz, drunk, fucked whores. You know, this is obviously in the earlier seasons before he kind of cleaned up his act once he, you know, Sylvia got married to the DA and then had a kid, you know. But he had demons, man. And he would beat a suspect. He would beat a suspect to get a confession, especially when he knew that suspect was a piece of shit. Yo, I'm not mad at that.
See, but this is the problem. You can't control when and how that's done.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this in this might be a very naive way of looking at it, but I'm telling you that the first there's a better name for it, but the hero, the anti-hero, that's the name I was looking for,
which is Dennis Franz
in that, but to me it was Dirty Harry.
Okay.
And that's when we were talking about Law and Order and the criminals have all the rights and they can't catch these guys because the criminal. And then there was the Dirty Harry movie that came out. And he's like, you know, make my day. Yeah, you're a bad guy. I'm taking you out. And it seems to have gone off the rails from there. I'm not blaming the movie.
When you say off the rails, you mean ridiculous, like over the top?
Well, just the way that it changed. I think it changed the way Law, like you said, that guy, he beat it out of him because he wanted the answer to save lives. If that's the case, is it worth it? But if it opens up a door for beating people this is a justification that you can justify police using a force.
Right. But it's still breaking the law.
And so if once they break the law, that door is open.
And that means anybody could do it.
Any cop for any reason.
You know what? And it's saying, and here's where the minefield is. If you go one way or the other, again, when it works for you, yeah. When it don't, you're fucked. If we go to the cop, don't beat that out of them. More people die. And it could, and again, it might be somebody you know, somebody you love. You don't want that. So beat away. But when you do that now, like you said, the door's open.
Slippery slope.
So what the fuck do you do? I think there should be a law that says under certain circumstances, to save lives, you gotta beat a motherfucker. And if it's a justifiable beating and can be proven such, no charges.
See,
if it can be proven it wasn't, charges.
But he didn't. Listen, I'm glad that they caught him. I'm not saying that, but it's they broke the law. It was they violated that man's rights. He had no expectation of giving them the name. They weren't owed that.
No.
So sometimes this is where. What makes something wrong right? And is that a possibility? To me, the answer is no. And I know that makes me this puts me on a very liberal ground. And I'm not an extreme conservative. I'm not an extreme liberal. I'm in the middle. But these laws and your rights are supposed to be protected. Mm-hmm. And I can't get behind that because they had to figure out another way to do it. And they could have done it. This opens up the door for where we are.
Okay, you said you can't get behind that. You really mean you can't?
I think there's another way for them
to do it. All right, put it like this.
Pay the guy $100,000.
Okay, put it like this. Which you know that's not going to happen, because if they don't want to even keep two cops
on there,
on the detail, they're not paying $100,000. Put it like this. It's two blocks from where you live. A woman was murdered by this sick fuck. You in terror. You a comedian. You're on the road. She's by herself. You don't want that man to get beat for that confession?
No, I didn't. I didn't say I didn't want him to get beat for that.
But you said you're against it.
I can't condone it because it breaks once the system deteriorates.
So you don't condone it still? Two blocks from your house.
I can't condone it. I understand it. Yes, I would want that to happen.
Okay.
But the real side of me, the side that makes decisions would have let's put it this way. If I could bring this one man to justice by beating this man and breaking laws, and then we are where we are today with excessive force, was it worth it? It was worth it to the people whose lives might have been saved and to the families, but what about all the other hundreds of thousands and people that have suffered under that assumption that they're doing the right thing?
Whose assumption they're doing the right thing?
The other police that would beat someone because they want information.
They know better.
They
know better. That's an excuse. They know better.
It opened the door.
I know what you're saying. That's why I'm saying it's a minefield. That's tricky.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Yes, I would want it for my my family. Yes, I would want someone around me to die. But now I've opened the door for all this other unjustifiable actions. If you knew that you could save someone next, you could save someone in your own home, but you would be putting hundreds of thousands of people at risk afterwards. Is it worth it to you?
Oh, I see what you're saying. That number seems so, when you say hundreds of thousands, now you're just trying to weigh out hundreds of thousands of possible beatings versus a dozen murders. Look, man, you can come back from a beating unless you get beat to death. Murder's final. The ends justify the means. In episode 4, they opened up, and I love this. This was done beautifully, man, for something to be so horrific. They open up now because now we're on it. Now we have a name. Now we know it's Richard Ramirez. And I don't know what their attempt was in doing this, because I don't think it was to make you go, aw. But they show him the baby pictures, growing up, baby, toddler, kid, young adult. And they telling you, you know, the cop said, this kid was poisoned in every way imaginable that you could poison a kid. At one point, his father tied him up to a cross in the cemetery and left him there. He was abused, the heroin, the coke. And I don't think their attempt was to make you go, oh, I feel sorry for him now. I understand where he, because listen, man, them crimes were so brutal and so heinous. And I understand, yeah, at the most development-like, impressionable stage of his life, he was fucked up. And so you blame his parents and the people that fucked him up. But I can't let that go, man. It's some sort of deep psychological, well, you got to look at what happened. And I'm sorry, Andy, I know you're going to say. And then when you listen to him in interviews as a grown, sick, sadistic motherfucker, and he says some of the things he would say, you know what you're doing. You still know what you're doing. When they talked about how he would, at certain murder scenes after he got done with his victims, he would sit down and have a snack, eat what was in the refrigerator. If you know when it's time for you to take a shit, you're going to take a shit. And when you are hungry, you know how to feed yourself. You're not crazy to me. I mean, you're crazy, but, you know, crazy is just shitting in the palm of your own hand and then using it as a facial mud mask. That's crazy. But if you know what you're doing in certain things in life that tell you what to do, then fuck that. You know what you were doing.
Well, when you brought up him being a kid and abused and, you know, the most impressionable time of his life and he's having these things happening to him, you can have deep sympathy for that child. But the adult, you can have no, you have no, I wouldn't have any feelings one way or another towards that person. Because the child you feel bad for. The child didn't ask for that. The child became that.
Right.
But I have no mercy for the adult. Because he's lost connection with his humanity. He's not necessarily a human anymore. If you can kill someone in a brutal way and then go to the refrigerator and eat a sandwich.
Right.
You lost touch with humanity. But here's the weird thing. Are we up to the raping part?
The raping part.
Of the kids, the little kid?
Well, yeah, you mentioned it.
Okay. So the weird part is, though, because you brought up how as a kid he was beaten and tortured.
Right.
So although he has this lack of humanity for kids, I mean for people, he would rape the kids. And then set him free. Like,
yeah, you mentioned that when we first talked about this.
So that's, to me, is like, that's his connection to the last moment of before he lost his humanity.
And I remember when you said that, I went, well, thank God. Even though what he still did was fucked up. Thank God he didn't kill him, at least.
And I think that comes from, that's the last identifiable moment as a human he had. It was as a child. When he lost his humanity was as a child. So he still saw those kids, even though his lack of humanity was allowed him to rape and do whatever he did to the kids, because it's the, when they show those kids and they're talking to him, and mm-hmm. you know that it's horrific. I mean,
right?
You they have that. I don't think that they ever get rid of that smell when they talk about how.
Right.
I think that stays with them for life. But I would think that's because that was the last part of his humanity. That's the last part where he was connected to being a human as it would be as a child.
Dude, and I'm gonna tell you, man. And it's just funny you mentioned it. When I came in your room, you were watching the thing about
Son of Sam.
And what, Frank Berkowitz? Was that his name?
Berkowitz. I don't know.
Yeah, Berkowitz. Son of Sam, Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer. They don't look, if you took away what you knew of them and what they did, they don't look creepy. Richard Ramirez.
Dahmer looked a little creepy.
A little bit, but, okay. But if you didn't know, he didn't do anything.
Okay, yeah, he just looked,
you know,
like,
I mean? He's like a regular whatever. Richard Ramirez looked exactly like a nightmare.
Yeah.
He was tall, so there's the physical imposing aspect. The jet black hair, the jet black eyes, the teeth with the gaps and the stains. Yo, he looked scary, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of a wonder how he was allowed to move around with people. Because he would be, that look is scary to other people who look similar to that.
Right.
But, I mean, or at that level where they're bad teeth, whatever. Right. But his look was, like you said.
Like, I could imagine being a 5'4", whatever, dainty woman, and that is staring you in the face at night in your house. That, man, that shit, it he was a scary motherfucker. But here's what I loved. When they finally revealed how he got caught and he's running through the neighborhood and all the townspeople got his ass. Dude, I shit you not, Andy. I'm sitting on playing, I'm watching this. And this is what I'm saying, y'all. This shit is riveting. Like, you're with it like a fucking, if I was a female, this is a soap opera. I'm sitting here, I got my mask on, my teeth are clenched. And when they fucking got his ass, and the neighbors talked about how one dude hit him in the head with something, and his head was bleeding, and another dude hand was bleeding, and they got him. They finally got him. Dude, I swear to God, I'm glad I have my mask. I spit through my mask, nigga. I said, got you, motherfucker. I was so like, I'm glad they got this motherfucker, dude.
I just thought about the scene in Frankenstein where the townspeople come to get the monster.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then I thought, okay, I know constitutional, everybody's got to have their day in court. If you're the lawyer that's defending him, and I know he's not going to get off, no chance in hell. But if he did, how do you sleep at night?
You have to.
No way.
He has to have a defense. He has to have a defense.
I know he has to have a defense, but if he got off. And you're the lawyers that do it?
No, there's no way that he would get off. They would go through all the evidence, and then that's when the lawyer goes to their client. I don't even know if I can get the death penalty off the table for you. But you need to do this.
Let me ask you, if you're the lawyer that's defending him, and let's say, I know, it wouldn't, the chance in a million years, you got him off. You don't quit after that? Because you're going to be the most hated motherfucker on the planet.
It's not even about being hated. I mean, to know that you got someone off who did that, I don't know that. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Take that a little step further, man. Just take it out a little bit. You're a public defender. And because he doesn't have money, so you get this case. And it's this I'm not using this case. I'm just saying this horrific case where they caught the guy. They know it's the guy. They have all the information. But through a series of errors, you can get your client off. And legally, you owe that to your client.
You're supposed to, or you get disbarred.
Yeah. So you, how do you live with yourself, though?
Man.
Because you have all the evidence. You know he's done it. But you have the key to get him out.
Man. I think if I got him off, I'd quit law the next day.
Yeah, I would move somewhere.
And move somewhere else, because your car is going to be covered in hock tuis like birds just went on vacation again.
But it's not even your fault. I mean, it's you. But do you do your job, or do you? If
you have to,
what if you think you could do it and he wouldn't find out? There was a movie where
matter of fact, Cape Fear, Max Cady,
where he hid information.
Yeah,
could have got him.
He could have got him off, but he purposely tanked it. That's why De Niro wanted to kill him.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another good movie, Just Cause. with Lawrence Fishburne. Sean Connery, Blair Underwood, and Ed Harris, where they think, remember they get Blair out of jail thinking he was falsely accused, but he really did what they say he did. And then, matter of fact, in that one too, the female lawyer who purposely did what she did to get him fucked, he goes after her. And Sean Connery's married to her. And Lawrence Fishburne is the cop that keeps trying to tell Sean Connery, this nigga's evil, man. Don't do it. That was a great one, too.
So I don't know. I couldn't even imagine you, if you were in that position. But obviously, they did everything correctly.
Yeah.
Well, as correctly as they could, because that's where we were talking about the police working with each other, and then the San Francisco DA.
Yes.
Is the one who almost blew the case.
Yes.
This stays riveting the whole way, because you're like, even though
it's fucking...
You know what's going to happen, but you see... Now let me ask you this question, because we were talking about the police before. Now what do you think of their job, though?
Listen, I respect it. I understand. I'm not all cop bashing. I respect it. And I'm going to take a line from Patrice. I like cops because I own shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You want them to protect you when it's time to protect you. So I know they got a hard job. I know. But goddamn. I love how the lady described them as those sick bitches. The groupies. Oh. The Richard Ramirez groupies. What is wrong with you bitches?
Well, all those killers.
Are you serious?
All those killers have it. If there were men, God, I hate doing this too, flipping this around. If there was men that wanted to, I'm sure there are men that when women, there's not as many women, female killers.
Serial killer. Remember, and I couldn't remember the name of the movie, Monster.
Yeah, Monster.
With Charlize Theron.
But if men were like, oh, I want to marry her, she's this, she's the, we would be demonized. But women.
Dude, I don't even think we would want to do that because we're thinking about our dicks. I don't want my shit on the 405 overpass I'm still in the bed.
Well, there was the woman in Mesa, Arizona, that killed her boyfriend. It wasn't even her boyfriend, but God, I can't remember her name. I wish I remembered. She was attractive. She was good looking.
I'm not sure who she is.
I can't remember her name. Someone will send it in.
But let me ask you this. Do you think that these women literally would want to fuck him if they had the chance? Or this is more about, I know he's in jail. I know he's never getting out. The idea turns me on, but that's as far as I'm willing to go with some sexy pictures sent and a letter.
I don't know. I don't know that I'd want to know who those people are. So I wouldn't have an answer to that question. I don't want to know who they are.
What would make a woman be turned on by a man that they know murdered women in heinous fashion and sexually assaulted them?
Do you remember in Pulp Fiction, it's one of the first scenes in the movie where she finds out he killed he's the boxer of Bruce Willis. She says, what is it like to kill a man? I mean, for some reason that she...
But that's a different turn on because he did it in a sport unintentionally.
Yeah, but still...
This nigga's sick.
What's his name? Helter Skelter, dude. Charlie
Mason.
Manson.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had people that wanted to... He had people coming out of the woodwork, though, to even, you know, buy him cigarettes and stuff like that. So Manson's in jail. I'm going to use Manson because I know people did this for him. He's in jail. He has to spend the rest of his life in jail. Mm-hmm. He committed the murders. But he has to live. He's living for the rest of his life in prison. And the dude just needs cigarettes. Do you buy him cigarettes? Do you help him get cigarettes? Do you care if he ever gets another cigarette? I
wouldn't because that kind of filth detests me.
I wouldn't even consider. I
wouldn't want to make a connection with you at all.
Right, it's the connection part. I don't want to think about you.
Right.
In that way.
And my last note: why the fuck does it take so goddamn long to kill somebody on death row? They said he was on death row for 20 years. So long that he ended up dying of cancer. Which they said was natural causes.
Because they can make, there's the appeals process. And appeals and appeals. But this is why, and we're still, I think we're the only country this large with this under this system that still has the death penalty. And it's more expensive actually to put someone on death row than it is just to house them for the rest of their life.
Really?
Yeah, because you have to pay for, you're going through all this whole process. There's money spent, plus you're housing them throughout this whole thing.
Right.
So it's easier just to give them a life sentence and not, I would almost, and I agree with this because, I mean, yes, you want, there's no pay, you can, like, this sounds horrible because I don't know. I hope to never know this feeling. But of course you want vengeance for a loved one that was taken away from you. But killing them obviously does not bring the other person back. And every time that they go up for an appeal, they're in the news again. They're brought up again, and you have to go to court again. I mean, I'd rather just – I don't know because I've never been in that situation, but in my mind it tells me that I would rather just know that they're locked away and they're never mm-hmm. going to see any sunshine again, and that's it.
Right.
That to me I think would – it still wouldn't be enough because, like, you don't get your child back or your loved one, but – I just wouldn't want to have to hear about him every year.
I understand the point of the appeal process because, you know, the last thing you want to do is take a life. But when you're convicted without a shadow of a doubt of shit to that degree, and this motherfucker even said walking out of court, "Hail Satan."
Yeah.
Dude, convicted, death sentence, to be carried out 1 week from today.
You say that, but they've realized through DNA evidence how many people have been wrongly convicted.
You're right. But when a motherfucker says, "Hail Satan," and has the five-star, what do you call it, paradigm?
What do they call that shit?
I know.
Paragram?
Or no, whatever the fuck it's called.
It's up a gram.
Something gram. The p-gram. On the palm of your hand. And we know you've done this. They found the shoe, all the evidence. Come on, man. Why are we wasting time? Cook this nigga. Cook this motherfucker.
We're supposed to be more civilized than that.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been brought to you by PBS Broadcasting System. Happy Time with Andy Steinberg and Ari Spears. Good night, boys and girls. That's all.
Is that where we're going to end it?
Yeah, we're at an hour and eight.
Oh, yeah, we got to end it.
Yeah, we got to end it. So get ready to take a nice, warm bubble bath. And don't forget your rubber duckies.
Set your alarms.
Set your alarms. Bath happy time. So coming up, y'all, Seven Society. The social media handles, Instagram, Twitter is at AM. KOTEP. Again, that's at AMKOTEP. Tidal, Apple Music, Pandora, Spotify. New music group album called Slum Diamond. Number one song trending, Phone Line. All right, y'all. Fuck. Enjoy. We out here.
Yeah. Hey, what up?
Text.
Hey. Girl, I know it's been a long time. Shawty, you can hit my phone line. And damn, girl, you're so fine. And I just wanna make it all mine. Hey. And I know it's been a long time. Since the day you hit my phone line. Yeah. Baby, just pick up the phone and you can call me. You can call me tonight, girl. You can call me tonight. Said you can call me tonight, girl. You can call me. You can call me. You can call me tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Don't even trip. Let me deline in this Henny you sip. Let's take a trip. Like Gilligan. You goggle and giggle. Hold on, get him. Cause I don't wanna see him. Hold on. Really, and I'm out of here. Got the liquor, and I get it by the lid. Say hello and nice to meet you, red bone on mama's seat. I said a little dark thing, got some really nice features. She could be my Mona Lisa, said she preaching to the choir. I ain't trying to be a preacher. I just need duck down, 8 steps to the ground. I just need duck down, 8 steps to the ground. Ay. You know your boy got it, I don't even need it. I'll leave it autopilot, yeah, your boy, hey.
Girl, it's been a long time. Shawty, you can hit my phone line. Damn, girl, you're so fine. And I just wanna make you all mine. And I know it's been a long time.
since the day you hit my phone line.
So baby, just pick up the phone and
you can call me, you can call me tonight, girl. You can call me tonight. Said you can call me tonight, girl. You can call me tonight. Said you can call me tonight, girl. You can call me tonight. You can come tonight, girl. You can come tonight. Yeah.
Can you feel it, baby?